Hello, hi everyone, and welcome to this mini series of episodes. We are talking all about happiness. This is episode 5. It is the letter I in the happiness framework. I is for inner peace. I'm here with Dr. Ellen Wong. We've been talking all about happiness. We've covered health, authenticity, purpose, and productivity. And here we are, halfway. We're going to talk about inner peace. Ellen, you said inner peace is about quieting your inner critic to develop courage and confidence to create your dream life. Man, where do I buy that?
I love it. I mean, okay, we've talked a lot about in the last couple episodes, like nuancing around things and like caveats of things. I'm going to say the first filter and caveat I put on this is simply that make your dream life actually your own.
Yeah.
Okay. Your dream life doesn't have to look like whatever it is on social media and whatever we see. So the first thing is applying the authenticity pillar to what is actually your dream life.
Mm.
Then the next thing is then having the courage to seek that out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Uh-huh. It's really
and
tough.
And a lot of our inner critic that stops us from that, having the courage and confidence to do that, is related to what you mentioned in an earlier episode, which is what would other people think if I did that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a lot of what I call the cringe factor.
How do you define the cringe factor?
I think the cringe factor is that I would be so embarrassed if, or wouldn't it be terrible if my boss listened to this podcast? Mm. I would shrivel up and die if my kids laughed at me for what I posted on Instagram, or I could never, so long as my husband doesn't watch my reels. You know, like that's the sort of like anonymity, when people sort of prefer anonymity in order to avoid the discomfort of putting yourself out there. I think that that's what I would define as cringe.
You have a lot of really great definitions.
Thank you. Thanks. I did do a couple episodes on cringe because I do think that if you can overcome the cringe factor, you can make your way to a lot of healing. But it really does, it does come down to disconnecting from your inner critic, or replacing the voice inside. So let's talk about inner peace. I think a lot of people, Ellen, will need to start here. They're going to hear episode 5 and they're going to be like, oh yeah, this is the one. This is the one. Because I do think that there is authenticity you can get yourself to, but to your point, if you don't have the courage to activate and demonstrate your true north to other people, then you can stay stuck in authenticity and you can miss on, you can just live in this place of constant friction in your own inner life. This is who I truly believe myself to be, and yet I cannot behave, or I cannot build the life that reinforces who I truly am because of how I might be criticized. Or how it might inconvenience other people to see me in a new way. There's a lot of self-talk, I think, that gets in the way of happiness. But I'm going to hand it over to you to hear more from you.
You've raised a lot of really good points around this. First and foremost, I want to say that pretty much everyone has an inner critic. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's social media and, like, projections out there where it's like, they've achieved this thing and they have, like, absolutely no inner critic and whatever. And, like, granted, there may be some people who are at that point. I mean, unless you're super disconnected from your like thoughts, I feel like everyone has doubts. Everyone who's about to go do something that they've never done before probably has a sliver of doubt whether this is the right thing to do or not, right? I think the biggest difference is that there are some people who have just exercised this muscle enough that they learn to see the inner critic and know that the inner critic isn't always right.
Yeah. Takes practice.
Yes. And that's the thing. We all have an inner critic. And that inner critic is really great at disturbing our inner peace.
Yes.
Okay.
I never made that connection before. Because sometimes we think the inner critic is keeping us safe. It's like the inner critic is helping us evaluate risk. I don't know if you want to do that. Let's play it safe. Let's play it small. Because the way that you're thinking about doing something or being someone is potentially putting you in a place where you might have to pay a penalty. But actually, if we think about the inner critic as disturbing our inner peace, I think that that really helps to interrupt, really helps us to see the inner critic as unhelpful as unhelpful. Because I do think sometimes I hear people say, like, sometimes your inner critic, it's like some people saying, like, oh, some stress is good mm-hmm. stress. Mm-hmm. But say more. Say more about that. The inner critic interrupts our inner peace.
Because what does our inner critic do? Our inner critic tells us, don't do that because someone else may say this. If you take this risk, what will happen? What will other people say? And so what your inner critic is doing mm-hmm. is creating external peace. But if there's a friction because your inner critic is stopping you from doing something you actually want to do, yes, you get external peace, but you lose out on inner peace because you're not actually doing the thing you actually want to do.
Wow. Say more about that. The difference between external peace and inner peace.
External peace is what we do to keep everybody else happy. Inner peace is accessing, yeah, inner peace is accessing what we actually want. Now, here's the really interesting thing. I think sometimes our inner critic makes a really big deal out of something that may not actually be that big of a deal.
Yes.
So
yes.
We are so scared of what will happen when we take this action that we make it into this ginormous thing. And because you tiptoe around it forever, it ends up being that really big thing. But if we were to work with our inner critic in the early stages of whatever this thing is, it probably gets resolved a lot quicker.
Ooh, say more about that. Early stages.
Our inner critic may tell us not to say something to someone around us, a friend, a parent, even our kids, because you don't want to cause a fight. You don't want to do the thing. You don't want it to blow up. You don't want people to blah, blah, blah. And then you spend years mm-hmm. tiptoeing around this issue. And now your inner critic is like, see, like, don't do that. Like, keep not doing that because there, like, see, you're safe. Mm-hmm. But the turmoil inside you that is yep. getting created as this is happening is disturbing your inner peace. Eventually, at some point, it's going to blow up because that's what happens. And so at the very beginning stages, if our inner critic is being like, you can't do that, like, who are you to think you could do that? That's when we develop a loving relationship with this inner critic and kind of be able to say, yes, that is one perspective. There is probably an opposite perspective that I can take. And you take one small step towards that. There's a lot of times we go, it has to be something dramatic. I want the ability to build a business and not be working in my salaried position, as an example. You don't have to go quit your job tomorrow. It doesn't have to be dramatic. You can take small steps toward it, right? You don't have to have a massive blowout with your whoever, your parent or whatever, your friend over, like, it doesn't have to be that big. Take the first small step.
Yeah.
That first small step may be, I'm not going to this gathering on this weekend because it's not the right place for me right now. That's it. Mm. You don't have to blow up the friendship. Yeah. You just have to say, I'm just going to take a break. I'm whatever. You can explain if you want to explain. No is also a complete sentence. Whatever feels comfortable for you, whatever you can find the courage to do, whichever small step that is. You can start with the small steps. Courage doesn't have to be 0 to 100. Courage can be taking a small step too.
Ellen, can you talk a little bit about what it feels like to be an inner peace? Because I think we all know the feeling of battling the inner critic. But the flip side of that is being able to feel inner peace. And I think that's an experience that's kind of fleeting. It's not a place that most of us can mm-hmm. return to mm-hmm. easily. So how do you access inner peace, and how do we acknowledge what that looks like and feels like to say, like, oh, this is it. This is inner peace. I did it.
Inner peace is not the absence of emotions. I want to say that because I can be at peace because I acknowledge and feel safe with the fact that I am currently sad.
Okay.
I can feel peace if I feel safe and acknowledge and I'm comfortable with the fact that I currently feel sad. Peace is not an absence of emotion. Peace is feeling okay and understanding that it is okay that I currently feel sad. I'm not fighting it.
You're not trying to escape mm-hmm. the present mm-hmm. circumstance.
That's what it is. And so is peace this like super Zen monk on a mountain with no thoughts and no feelings? No, not at all. I can be at peace and be sitting on my sofa and acknowledging that I am currently very sad. But you know what peace, inner peace is not? It cannot coexist with a constant desire to hustle. There is an element of stillness with inner peace. And I think that is what is very difficult in this day and age. Because of the hustle culture, which we talked about in the last episode, because we have this like constant desire to like do this thing and achieve more and do more. And somehow you're wrong if you don't want to be climbing the corporate ladder, if you don't want to hit your next milestone. It's like somehow you're lazy or somehow you're not motivated. I don't think it's any of those things. You cannot constantly be on the go and rushing from thing to thing and be at peace.
Yeah.
I also want to clarify that there's a difference between being busy and rushing and hustling. Because there's a lot of busy people who are at peace because they're busy in the right momentum, doing the right things at the right pace for them. Constantly chasing and hustling and rushing from place to place is the opposite of peace. And there is a fine line between what those things are, right? You can be busy and at peace. You can't be rushing.
That's encouraging because I think certainly as a mom, I feel like the idea of peace feels like an empty house, a clean house, a day off of work, and this sense of everything stopping for me. You know, no rehearsals or practices or tryouts to take the kids to. Nobody's, you know, behind on whatever. No one's fighting. And stillness is ceasing all movement. But I just can't get my life there. You know, I also chose to have three kids. I chose a career that's very demanding. And I chose, you know, a life that in a lot of ways comes with a lot of stimulation. So I really like that separating out the difference between busyness and rushing is a way to herd yourself into a life that accesses inner peace without saying, but my agenda for the day is blank. That's how I access inner peace, is by having literally nothing that demands me or my time.
I think in the busy motherhood and career woman, we do lack stillness. We do. And I think that is a byproduct of the many factors of raising a child who you want to be involved in different things and you want to give them the space and the opportunity to explore and all those things that we want as moms. I do think that in this day and age, we lack stillness. And those things that you describe is an element of stillness. It's also an element of not being overstimulated. That's also what you're asking for. And I do think we need to create that. I do think we need to create that. And I'm not going to lie to be like, oh, it's so easy to just find and feel peace in this, you know, when we're running from thing to thing because we have to, because we have kids and there's a house that needs to be cleaned. Like I live that life. I get it. I don't have three kids, but like, I think I understand where this is coming from. And I do think in this day and age and in our society, we are very overstimulated. And we do need times when there is lack of stimulation. But, and also, you need to create space for stillness. And when we create space for stillness, we start to access things like peace and what that feels like. Like, you also have to tap into the emotion to then create it as well, right? It's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing. But I do think, like, if you're constantly stimulated, it is hard to feel peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Definitely. I think about, you know, even our devices and our phones and our ability to be accessed all hours of the waking day. That's a huge part of it. In terms of stillness, I think I want to encourage people to stay tuned for the next episode because I think we're going to talk a lot about something that we haven't touched on, which is sort of environment and how environment contributes to happiness in stillness and being with nature. But this has been episode number 5. We talked about I is for inner peace. I want to encourage people to download Ellen's happiness guide. Make sure you're following me and Ellen on Instagram. I'm at medium.lady and Ellen is at Dr. Ellen Wong. And as I said before, you're definitely going to want to make sure that you are subscribed so you can stay tuned for episode number 6, which is going to be N is for nature. Thanks so much, Ellen, for chatting about this with me, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.